Blog Talk Radio.
To you, my Yadu, I lift up my soul. And trusting you, he always kept me whole. And left my enemies deep in their holes. Let none that wait on Yahweh be ashamed. But shame on those who sin without a cause. Show me your ways, please teach me your laws. Oh Elohim of my salvation. I'm staying down impatient as a child, all the while I'm waiting. Remember not the sins of my youth. Leave me in your truth, and he'll give your soul ease. The earth shall remain inherited by your seed. The secret of Yahweh who fears Elohim, a fool believes everything. And to every word spoken, you can't take heed unless you hear somebody curse. You know you did the same thing. That's why I'm begging y'all for mercy and it's love and kindness, cause I know that I ain't worthy. Worthy.
Captivity is taking hold upon me. For frightening me and now we flee for fallen leaves. The ground and grief from all the blood our people seen. And now we cry, where is the word from Elohim? And so we said that we all is wise to be submissive, but we dismiss it. It is of this reason we have fallen victim to the lies that your root will pray and pursue. Rebellious of the son, forgotten that he is one. Broken the holy ordinance, rejecting the reproof. Then acknowledge what we do. Now we return back to the truth.
God's word is the truth. God's decrees is the proof. Local 12 just released the scoop. It's the summer of Sam. They calling us Ham. Made us worship the son of man. And somehow that the moon, they stole our style and gave it to Rothschild. Now we exalt the vow, but hit the turnstile. God's now be set the crooked things straight. Praise God from the rising to the evening to the closing the gate. Exposing the fake. God give the truth a day break. Now the liars can't escape and the haters can't relate to the light the truth makes. See the wicked's pride deflate. Your dull y'all magnify y'all cut his grace.
Hallelujah. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Giving all praises, all glory, and all honor unto the Elohim of Elohim, to the King of Kings, the mighty and only Creator, whose name is Yahweh and Yahweh alone. Hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous, Yah is holy, and let Yahweh be magnified. Shalom and welcome again to another beautiful broadcast of Nothing But the Truth. I'll be your host this evening. I'm Morey Ishia, to bring the word of the mighty Yah, Nothing But the Truth, here at the House of Israel, located at 1907 Vine Street, And we would like to say shalom to everyone that is tuned in to our listening, from our listening audience and viewing audience, because we know that the only reason that you have tuned in is because of your great fear and love toward the mighty Yah. Hallelujah. And we're going to discuss Yah's word. And who is this Yah? Yahweh is the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, or as you might know them as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yahweh is the only judge, the only lawgiver, and the only king, and the only redeemer, and the only savior of Israel and the world. Yahweh is the Elohim, or the God of the black man and woman that has been dispersed from their land by way of what you know as the transatlantic slave trade. Yahweh is the Elohim of the oppressed peoples in this land, and he has seen everything that has happened to us. And he has also been a witness. And it has not escaped the all-seeing eye of the Most High what has gone on in this captivity that has lasted nearly 400 years. And this evening we will be taking questions. We will be taking questions. So if you have questions, don't hesitate to send them in through YouTube and Facebook. And you can also text me at 513-237-5911. It's 513-237-5911. So you can send your questions in through YouTube and Facebook. And you can also text me at 513-237-5911 when you have a question. And I wanted to share some with you, because we never know exactly who is watching our programs, and we don't know where you're at spiritually in your studies. We don't know if you're seeking Yah's word. We don't know if you are just trying to find out about Israelites. You might have came across us. We have no idea. So let me tell everybody. Yahweh, he is the Elohim, the God, the Elohim, which means power, of the heavens and the earth. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. And he is the only creator. And there is none else. Yahweh chose a particular family to be part of his inheritance. And he chose this family from the lineage of Abraham, who he befriended. Yes, Yahweh befriended Abraham. Yahweh didn't just find somebody and choose them because they look good or for whatever other reason. Yahweh made a friend of the children of Adam. And we need to think about that. And let me show you that scripture while I wait for questions to come in. Let me show you. It's in the book of Isaiah. And in the book of Isaiah, the 40th chapter, I'm sorry, the book of Isaiah, the 41st chapter, it says in the 8th verse, "But thou, Israel, are my servant, Yaakov, whom I have chosen." You see, Israel, we're the servant of Yah. We're the chosen of Yahweh. "The seed of Abraham, my friend." See, Yahweh made a friend of the children of Adam. And this friend was Abraham. Now, how do you make friends? Now, if you got a real friend, that friend that you love, and that friend loves you, and y'all are inseparable, even if you're not in the same place, but y'all are inseparable, y'all are friends. Y'all love each other. Your love goes above everything, because you're friends. You're like the same person, but you're friends. It's a love that you only can understand if you have a good friend. A friend that you know that you got to speak to and let them know what's going on in your life. Their children are like your children. Their family is like your family. A friend who you don't have to worry about if they're going to call you. A friend who you know whatever goes on in y'all lives, y'all got each other's back. A real friend. Now, if you got 10 or 12 of those type of friends, then I don't know what you're doing. Because there's only really one or two of those kind of friends. We only have about one or two of those kind of friends in our lifetime. And you might only have one of them kind of friends in your lifetime. And Yahweh has one friend that he mentioned in the scriptures, and that's Abraham. And so how do you think Yahweh is going to deal with Abraham's children? He chose them. He take care of them. He's going to love them as if it was his children. Because we are his children. And so Abraham was the friend of the Most High. And he chose Israel. Now you might have been taught, that Abraham's seed has been rejected by the Creator. And now the Gentiles have been grafted in under the covenant of Abraham. You might have been taught this. And if you were taught this, what you were taught was a lie. Why would Yahweh treat his friend in such a way that he would reject his seed? Yahweh promised his friend. What you going to do if you promise your friend something? And this is what Yahweh promised his friend. In the book of Genesis, the 17th chapter. You see? And we have a question. The question is, how do I deal with living with heathens? How do you deal with living with heathens? I guess you must live in like some kind of dormitory setting, or maybe you have a roommate or college. You might have to live with heathens. And how do you deal living with heathens? I would say, well, you would deal with living with them like you would deal with living with any other person. If that's your situation, you would have to treat them the way you would want to be treated peacefully. We seek the peace. The Most High told us when we come into this place in Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, he said, seek the peace of the city. If you got to live with heathens, for there's many reasons you might have to live with heathens. Maybe you're in college and you're in a dorm and you got to live with a heathen. Maybe you're in some kind of dormitory living situation and you got to live with heathens. Maybe your roommate is a heathen. Maybe for whatever reason, I don't exactly know what the reason would be, but for whatever reason you have to live with heathens, at that time you seek the peace. I know heathens or the other nations or other nationalities, they're not going to do the same thing you're going to do. So you have to, you know, set your boundaries. You know, Mordecai in the book of Esther, he lived amongst heathens. Maybe not in his house, but he had to work with them every day. He had to, and we live among heathens in captivity. And what do we have to do? We have to seek the peace. We have our boundaries and we have our borders. We won't break Yah's law. We won't bow down to their deities. We won't eat their food. We won't praise their gods. We won't allow them to defile us. But we don't have to kill them. We don't have to seek their hurt. We don't have to be mean to them. We just have to let them know where we stand and why we want peace and how we want peace with them for the time that we have to be amongst them. So I would say do what Daniel did. He stood and walked in his integrity. He didn't allow them to catch him doing anything wrong, and they can only catch him doing something against their laws that would contradict Yah's laws. And that's what you have to do. Walk in your integrity and your service to Yah, like our great elders and ancestors, and you will have peace. It says a man who seeks the Most High and walks with the Most High, his ways will even plead. He will be at peace and he will have favor with Elohim and man. Praise Yah. So, if there are any other questions,
praise Yah.
Hallelujah.
Another question. What tribe are the Ebos and the Ashkenaz is from?
What was the second one?
Ashkenaz.
Ashanti?
Ashanti.
Sir. Ashanti? How does it spell?
A-S-H-A-N.
Ashan? Ashan? That might be a variation of Ashanti. From my research, my research comes from meeting brothers and sisters from the Igbo nation, reading documented information from the Igbo nation. From my research, the Igbos, from their own mouth, are generally and believe they're of the tribe of Yehuda. Over 45% of the slaves, or I should say of the Hebrews, that were turned into slaves that came over to the Americas were of the Igbo people. The Ashanti, from my research, from meeting or knowing Ashanti, from having lineage on my mother's side, that knew they came from the Ashanti back in the 1800s. And from my research, reading documented information, the Ashantis claim that they descend from the tribe of Levi, or Levi, specifically from the line of Aaron, the priest. There's a book you can get called The Hebrewisms of West Africa. Very good book, where you will see some evidence of their claims. As a matter of fact, the word Ashanti is a mixed word, or Asante. People spell it different ways if that's the people they're talking about. There's also Akan. I don't know if they're talking about the Akan or the, but Asante or Asante or Ashanti. Their name is a mix between West African language, I think, from the I can't remember the West African language right now, but the word T is West African. It means people of. And the word Ashan is Hebrew. It means the people of the smoke, the Ashan or Ishan, the fire starters. And there was a city called Ashan in the land of Yehuda. And it was for the priest. You can find evidence of that in the book of Joshua, around the 15th chapter, in the book of Chronicles, around the 6th chapter. And was there any more to that question?
No.
Okay. Well, praise Yah. You have another question? All right.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Should we continue to pray for our brother Esau, even through Yah told us the beginning and the end of this relationship?
Should we continue to pray for our brother Esau? I haven't read a scripture where Yahweh told us to pray for Esau. Unlike the New Testament teaches us to pray for our enemies and pray for those. I want you to understand, because I don't know where this comes from, but in the New Testament, in the book of Matthew, the 5th chapter, it says in the 43rd verse, "You have heard it been said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless those that curse you, do good to those that hate you, and pray for those that spitefully use you and persecute you." Now, this law here is not in the book of the Most High. And I have never read where Yahweh told us to pray for Esau. He said it, don't hate him. But I never read where he told us to pray for him. And if you were to pray for Esau, what would you pray for? What would you pray for Esau? After all that Esau has done, what would you pray for? What would you pray for him to come onto the good side of life? What do you want for him? He's your enemy. He's the enemy, not only is your enemy, but he's the enemy of the Most High. That's what makes him your enemy. Yahweh has declared him his enemy, which makes him our enemy. So why would we pray for him? And where did Yahweh show us in the Holy Scriptures to pray for him? I haven't read that. If anybody has read what Almighty has told us to pray for Esau, then we can deal with that. But I know Yahweh has never told us, from my understanding, from what I've read, in the Holy Scriptures, I've never seen it pray for Esau. I've never seen Yahweh tell us to pray for Cush. I've never seen Yahweh tell us to pray for Mizraim or Egypt. I've never seen Yahweh tell us to pray for Assyria or Ashur. I've never seen Yahweh tell us to pray for Ishmael. I've never seen Yahweh tell us to pray for any of these nations that have treated us adversely. I see Yahweh has told us to pray to him. Pray for the peace of the city. You might pray for the peace on earth. You might pray for Yahweh's will to be done. But what's he going to ask Yahweh to do with Esau? Except what he already said he's going to do. So, I haven't seen that scripture, but I do know the New Testament teaches you to pray for those that spitefully use you. And if you ever been messed around by a bank, if you ever been messed around by a real estate company, If you've ever been oppressed financially, in the media, or any other avenue that deals with the dissemination of information and financial things, you've been spitefully used by Esau, specifically to the Hebrews of the country. They've made policies, and they've had policies, and they have policies to specifically oppress us. And these banks and these loan companies and these media companies are owned by Esau, intentionally seeking your destruction. So I wouldn't pray for anyone that spitefully uses me. You don't see that in the scriptures. You don't see where any of our people pray for even their own people if they was trying to destroy them. They prayed that Yahweh take care of their problems, and that's what we should pray for. Hallelujah. Any more questions? Okay.
And Malachi 4:2 explain what it means when it states that the Son of Righteousness shall arise with the healing in his wings. And does it have anything to do with Yah healing and reviving us in Hosea 6:1-2 and in Zechariah 12:8?
Okay. In Malachi, the fourth chapter, the first verse says, "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble." Though it might sound poetic, this is, brothers and sisters, friends, and all listeners, this is the actual factual truth of what will happen. This is not a metaphorical description. The day will come and it's going to burn as an oven. And all the proud, that's all the people that have not humbled themselves, and all that do wickedly, that's all the people that have not turned from their wickedness, shall be stubble, meaning they will burn. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith Yahweh of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. This day that's coming, that's going to be on fire, is going to burn the proud and the wicked. But, verse 2, unto you that fear my name, because the ones that fear the name of Yah, humble themselves, seek Yahweh's face, turn from their wicked ways. These people have turned from their wickedness and humbled themselves. So they're not in the category of the proud and the wicked actors. But these are the ones that fear Yah's name, the Son. And you see, in English, they try to capitalize the S as it's, because they want you to think it's talking about the Christ in the New Testament, but it's not. Because it's spelled S-U-N, because the Hebrew word is Shemesh, which is the Hebrew word for sun, which is the greater light that rules the day. And that's why the day comes. And the Son of Righteousness, because when this sun rise on this day, the ones that's going to see it is going to be the righteous. Because this will be for the day of righteousness. The Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. Because from its light in that day, the proud will be stubble. The wicked will be stubble. The oppression will be gone. The destruction will be over. And healing will be in this sunrise, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And literally, verse 3, you shall walk over, tread down the wicked, because they're going to be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith Yahweh. So this sun is the sun rising. It's just going to be a day like none before, because it will be the day that the wicked and the proud cannot stand in. And I'm going to humbly say, no, this is not the same as Zechariah. Well, what was it, Zechariah 12 and what? I think you said Zechariah 12 and I can't remember the verse. 8, where it says, I saw by night and beheld. I'm in the first chapter. Is this the same? I was about to say, it's not the same from my knowledge as Hosea, because that's a little different. But in Zechariah 12 and 8, it says, in that day shall Yahweh defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as Elohim, as the angel of Yahweh before them. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem, and I will pour out upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son. And he shall and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. So this is related to that, but it's not the same exact thing, because this is speaking of when the nations are going to fight against Jerusalem, and Yahweh is going to stand up for Israel, and he'll destroy the nations. So it's related to it, but it's not the same exact thing. And then in Hosea, which I'm very familiar with, and I know that this is a little bit different also. Hosea, the 6th chapter, beginning in the first verse, where it says, come and let us return unto Yahweh, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. In the third day, he will raise us up and we shall live in his sight. So this is speaking about the revival and the raising of the children of Israel. And that has to happen before the day that is spoken of in Malachi. So they're related times, they're similar times, but they're not all the same as what I'm seeing. Praise the mighty Yah. We have another question?
Praise Yah.
Praise Yah.
Next question. How do we deal with lust? Not specific lust, but just lust in general. Do we fight it by breaking our heart? Does it go hand in hand? Praise Yah. Hallelujah. Shalom.
Hallelujah. Shalom. Well, lust is desire. So I guess, you know, when you're dealing with Babylonian language, lust sounds a little bit more harder or a little bit more, I don't know, sinful, I guess, than the word desire. But lust is desire. If you go to the book of Numbers around the 11th chapter, I think that's where I want to go. Let me make sure. Yeah. Go to the book of Numbers, the 11th chapter. Lust is desire. So look here in Numbers, the 11th chapter. It says in the first verse, and when the people complained, it displeased Yahweh, and Yahweh heard it, and his anger was kindled. And the fire of Yahweh burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moshe, and when Moshe prayed unto Yah, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of Yahweh burnt among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? So you might desire eating meat, but that's lusting. You lust after it. You might desire to have a wife, but you will essentially be lusting for a wife. Now, there's a difference between desire and, as they say, love, for instance, because when you desire, you want something. When you love, you accept something. There's different principles to love and desire. But lusting is a simple, in general, it is desire. And so they were lusting after flesh to eat. Verse 5 says, we remember the fish. And this is them lusting. You remember that fish? Better pay attention to this because this is going to happen again. You remember that fish we was eating in the wilderness? How good that blackened sockeye was? You remember how good that ocean perch fried shrimp with butter sauce was? You remember that good wild-caught salmon fried and baked and grilled and with lemon butter sauce? Remember how that was? That's lusting after this flesh. It says, remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. That's lusting. That's lusting. You could apply that to anything that you desire. Remember the chocolate chip cookies? You remember them women? You remember them men? You remember that song? Whatever you desire, that you're desiring. And it says, verse 6, but now our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. And that's why the Most High was very upset with the people, because he gave them something that nobody has ever had before that time or after that time. He put food on the earth specifically for the children of Israel, so that they could be sustained and maintained and be healthy and strong. And because our people wanted the taste of garlic and onions and leeks, we complained and we lusted. And we can do that with a lot of different things. So it's not necessarily always bad to desire. But if you're going to be in that type of lusting state where you're forgetting the blessings and the benefits and the mercy and the compassion of Yah, where you're allowing your lust to take you to a place where you'll break and transgress and forsake the Most High, then you need to think about breaking your heart, humbling yourself, stopping yourself from even doing it. That does not mean remove yourself from eating cake for the rest of your life. That doesn't mean remove yourself from loving women the rest of your life. That means you have to control yourself. Control yourself. Control yourself. Men shall not covet other men's wives. So you have to control yourself if you see a beautiful woman. Control yourself. Don't be a madhouse man and see this woman, no matter who or what she is to somebody, and just start drooling and panting like some kind of raged in heat animal. You have to control yourself. You have to consider your ways. And yes, sometimes and a lot of times, breaking your heart from these things is essential to control yourself. Hallelujah. Any other questions?
Not at this moment.
All right. And praise Yah. Before the questions rolled in, I was talking about Yahweh's friend and the covenant that Yahweh made with his friend to show you that you're not It's impossible for these teachings that we receive, these bad teachings we receive from our enemies, that the Gentiles are now grafted in to Abraham's covenant. Look what Yahweh said. And before I read that, I want to make sure we don't have any questions. Look what the Most High says in Genesis, the 17th chapter. It says here in verse 4, Yahweh says to Abraham, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with you," meaning my contract, my agreement, my bond, my binding agreement is with you, Abraham, and you shall be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. When you get a contract, you'll see it say, from henceforth, the name of such and such company shall be referred to as the company. And the name of John shall be henceforth referred to as the applicant. They'll change your name or they'll substitute your name in a regular legal contract. Where do you think they got that from? Yahweh said to Abram, your name cannot be Abram anymore, because now you are entering into a covenant with me, and you have to be recognized as the one who I am making this covenant with, the father of many nations, Abraham or Abraham. In verse 6, he says, "And I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your seed after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be an Elohim unto thee and unto thy seed after thee." This is what Yahweh does with his friend. What did you, well, you know what David did with his friend? What did David do with his friend? Well, David had a friend, and his name was Jehonatan or Jonathan, and David promised to not destroy his children. And when he found, and he promised to always show kindness to the sons and the seed of his friend, Jehonatan. And when David sat in his kingdom, he said, "Find me a son ascendant of Jonathan, and he shall sit at my table and continuously have meat before my table." Because David was a man after Yahweh's heart. And so this is how Yahweh dealt with his friends. Do we have any questions?
Yes, we do. Question: will Gentiles have their own covenant with Yah if and when they turn from their wicked ways and Yahweh gives them a better name than they have? Isaiah 56, verse 5. Praise Yah.
Praise the mighty Yah. Yeah, there's a covenant for the Gentiles. Let me show you. If you go to the book of Isaiah, the 42nd chapter. Go to the book of Isaiah, the 42nd chapter. And we'll begin reading in the first verse. Isaiah 42. It reads, "Behold, my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith the Elohim, Yahweh, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein. I, Yahweh, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thy hand and will keep thee. Now, who is he talking about? You might have been taught this is about the Christians, God, the Christ of the New Testament. But if you have been taught that, you've been taught a lie. This is not speaking about the Christ of the New Testament, nor is it speaking about Muhammad or any Messiah that shall come from the Muslims' book. It's not speaking about some other God or some other Messiah. This is only speaking about Yahweh's servant. And who is Yahweh's servant? The children of Israel, a holy nation, a kingdom of priests. And he's saying in verse 6, I have called thee in righteousness. I will hold thy hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am Yahweh, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. So the covenant that's going to be for the Gentiles are the children of Israel. Again, go to the book of Isaiah, the 49th chapter. Because there's a covenant for them of the Gentiles, of the nations that turn to the Most High. And like any other covenant, the things they got to do to receive the benefits of the agreement. In Isaiah 49, verse 5, it says, and now, saith Yah that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Yaakov again to him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of Yahweh. And my Elohim shall be my strength. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Yaakov and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation to the end of the earth. So again, you see this. Yeah, a light. And if I keep reading, I'll show you again. Verse 7, thus saith Yahweh, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because of Yahweh that is faithful, and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Thus saith Yahweh, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in the day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee, and give thee, for a covenant of the people, to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. Brothers, sisters, friends, and all listeners, Israel is the covenant for the world. Not the Christ of the New Testament, not any other fake, false Mashiach or Messiah that you might have learned about, but the children of Israel is the covenant Yahweh has made for the rest of the world. If you look one more place, If you look in Isaiah, the second chapter, verse 1, it says, the word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Yehuda and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of Yahweh's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of Yah, to the house of the Elohim of Yaakov. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in the paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations and rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And I wonder also, that's good, that